song for the brokenhearted.
Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It's great to be with you on this Tuesday. I got glorious news for you. Here it is. All will be vivified. That's right, all will be vivified. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "Yet now Christ has been roused from among the dead, the first fruit of those who are reposing. For since, in fact, through a man came death, through a man also comes the resurrection of the dead. For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class." So that's great news. All will be vivified. It won't all happen at once. For the next resurrection or vivification in God's calendar is the snatching away of the body of Christ to heaven. And then after that, at the second coming, in his presence here on earth as well, there will be a resurrection. And then after the last eon, the rest of mankind will be vivified. That means given life beyond the possibility of death altogether. Wouldn't that be great? All of us, everyone, will one day be vivified and part of God's family, and God will be all in all. However, Orthodoxy denies this great news. That's because Christianity has two false views about death. There are two main false views. One view is that the dead are conscious, that the dead are conscious in a disembodied state of some kind, that they never really died, they're really live in some other form. Now, the other view, not as popular, of course, but it's another view, is that it's the opposite of that the dead are alive. The other view is that they are annihilated. I actually used to believe this. Resurrection is impossible in either scenario. Well, let's take a look at the first view, that the dead are really alive. First of all, if the dead are really alive or conscious, then they aren't dead. Think about that. If they aren't dead, resurrection is impossible, and it's not even needed. It's kind of funny. Those who believe this kind of teaching can't really describe the existence of the dead who are really alive. I've heard so many weird theories. Some liken it to being like an angel or spirits of some kind. And some, especially ministers, I was part of a group where a group of pastors couldn't tell you if it was the soul that was in heaven or the spirit that was in heaven. And it was a meeting of pastors who were trying to convict and kick out of their fellowship one of their ministers who didn't believe that the dead were alive anymore. He started studying the scriptures on this, and they self-righteously condemned him, even though they couldn't explain their theory regarding the dead being alive. A preacher once stated at a conference this statement. This was a conference of those who professed to believe Paul's message, but this is what he said as he got up in front of all these people. And this was his statement. He said, "The dead are actually alive somewhere right now." And he went on to talk about every person who had ever died was actually alive. And he said this very angrily and self-righteously because he was trying to put a stop to his view of heresy that the dead are really dead. But this is what he said, that the dead are really alive somewhere. And only a few people in that whole auditorium saw the stupidness of that statement. That's how Orthodoxy can blind you to the ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement that dead are really alive. That the dead are really alive, doesn't this prove that they aren't really dead anyways? Think about that. If the dead are really alive, that only proves that they're not dead. So how can he say the dead are already alive somewhere? Satan said in Eden to Eve that you're not really going to die, Genesis 3. And Orthodoxy says amen to Satan's theology. Satan denies death to get you to not believe in resurrection. That is the subtlety of this awful doctrine. You can't make alive what's already alive. Think about it. Remember, resurrection is a demonstration of God's power and grace, and it is resurrection from the dead, not another form of life. So I think we can see that the teaching that the dead are really alive is Satan's snare to get us to not really believe, first of all, that Christ really died, and to not believe that people really die so they can deny the truth of resurrection. Now, what about the theory of annihilation? Can someone be beyond the reach of resurrection? Now, let's acknowledge, what does God really say about the death state? First of all, death is not life in any sense. Remember that. Death is not life. That should be fundamental. It's a fundamental teaching that death is not life. Every element returns. We talked about this in previous programs, that death is a return. God told Adam he was going to return to the soil. For soil you are, and to soil you shall return. And we went through that. Man is essentially soil. And the union of soil with spirit results in a person becoming a living soul. Death is the opposite of that. It is a return. Every element returns, soil, breath, and soul. But who you are, your personality, your history, your individuality can't really be annihilated. The Lord in John 5 talked about all those who were in their tombs will hear his voice and come forth in resurrection. Now, if they were annihilated, how could they hear his voice? Now, again, we're not saying they're alive. We're not saying they're alive, but who you are, your personality and your history can't be annihilated. Again, they're not alive, but neither are they annihilated. And no other voice could make them alive except the Son of God, who was given to have life in himself. We talked about this in previous programs. If Christ doesn't call the dead, they will stay dead as if they were annihilated. As if. But something still exists to respond to the voice of the Son of God. That's your personality. God keeps that in his memory. In the book of Job, he talks about how in his flesh he will see God. Job is essentially saying that who he is, his personality, is not going to be a different personality in resurrection. God keeps that. This is in God's memory. It's something that God holds on to. It still exists. So in resurrection, who you are, what you are, will still exist. You don't become a completely different person in resurrection. You are the same person you are, except you're without sin and you're in a perfect body. And here's an example in the life of Abraham. In the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read in Matthew 8:11 that in the future kingdom, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be in that future kingdom reclining. Read Matthew 8:11. They're going to be alive at that time. But before that happens, remember our Lord Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead. But in the memory of God, they were kept there. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that verse doesn't teach that they were still alive. It was a guarantee of their resurrection because God is the God of resurrection and he's going to raise Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that wonderful that he's Lord both of the dead and the living? But again, this doesn't mean the dead are alive. They're kept in the memory of God and he will bring them back to life in their personalities, Job, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And even if we should die, God will keep us, and in resurrection, we will be the essential us. But it'll be perfect at that point. That's great news. So the dead aren't annihilated. God is going to call forth those who died, all of them, and bring them and make them alive and vivify them. Isn't that wonderful that our personalities are God created and God loves who you are? And God loves your personality. Of course, when we get our resurrection body, our personality will be displayed perfectly at all times. That's the best part of it. It'll be without sin or any kind of error whatsoever. No more flaws in that resurrection body to use your character and your personality wrongly. That's the good news. Well, that's all I have time for today. We are going to get into tomorrow the teaching. It's something that has been used very poorly. We're going to talk about the second death tomorrow in the lake of fire. And then also we're going to get into this passage in Genesis 3 where people have tried to use Genesis 2 where it says, when you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. They try to make it some kind of spiritual death. We're going to address that also. This is Death Week, Part 2. Remember this, the closer you draw near to God through the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.